For 12 years in a row, ranking Arizona's number one most trusted referral network, RosieOnTheHouse.com.
And we're privileged and happy to have you.
And over three decades of Rosie on the House.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to Rosie on the House. We're here this hour and we want to talk about our topic of the month, being a good neighbor. We opened this month with a study of neighborliness with Dr. David Deed from Grand Canyon University. He talked to us about the Pleasant Valley Wars over between around the area of Young, between Young and San Carlos Indian Reservation, between the Grahams and the Tewksburys. Examples of bad neighbors. It never pays to kill your neighbor's livestock or family members. We also talked about good neighbors and what it takes to leave a legacy. Men like Ernest McFarland right here in Arizona. Jennifer and I last Saturday night sat down for a movie in our living room and we watched The Hatfields and McCoys.
The one with Kevin Costner?
Yes, yes. Part two is tonight. And as a matter of fact, on the way driving down to the studio this morning, he said, I'm so looking forward to part two. That's great. So we'll be watching The Hatfields and McCoys. But on the topic of being a good neighbor and neighborliness, today we're going to focus a little bit on the front porch. And I've kind of leaned on John Eisenhower and Janet and Gary to stay for this first half of this hour to talk about what does it mean being a good neighbor as it relates to your landscaping. I just had Save a Tree out to my house because I have a fairly massive mesquite tree that was overgrowing the neighbor's yard. I called the neighbor as a courtesy. I said, now look, for them to trim that tree, they're going to need to get in your yard. He said, well, thank goodness you're finally trimming and it's dropping seed pods all over my putting green. I said, okay, I'm sorry. We will keep it trimmed back. I didn't know that was an intrusion. But now that I know it's an intrusion, John, Gary, I'm going to have you guys out regularly making sure I don't go past that wall line. What is a neighbor's obligation in relation? It's ironic because when that neighbor built his house, Jennifer and I were sitting in the backyard during a monsoon and we had a volunteer mesquite tree in our backyard very near his wall. And he was getting ready to move in, and I told Jennifer, well, I'm going to need to cut that down. And as I was saying that, the monsoon blew it over his wall into his yard. Do you remember y'all had to come and trim that out?
Wow. I do, yeah.
I said, well, that tree's taken care of. So what is a name? What is, as a homeowner, what should I circle my property and look for as it may be intruding or impeding on my neighbor so I can be that model good neighbor?
Well, each of those individual neighbors have rights within their own property line. But those neighbors are also part of a neighborhood. Yeah. And trees that are on a property line, sometimes they're actually a shared property line. If that tree actually, the root, the trunk of the tree actually crosses the property line,
yeah,
they become it's a shared asset or liability, depending on how you look at it.
All right.
But technically speaking, if you have a plane going straight up from the property line into the sky, your branches should not be going over that property line if your neighbors aren't good with it. Of course, we have lots of property line trees that are valued. We have people who love their neighbor's trees because they're providing shade. In our case, we have a lemon tree from our neighbors that grows over our wall, but they said, take as many lemons as you want. So, hey, we have a source of lemons all winter. So we love those branches growing over our side of the wall. We enjoy that. They soften the wall. The problem happens, and it can be really serious in other parts of the country, and states all have different laws and regulations regarding property line issues with trees. They can be a real nuisance. You can have a neighbor's tree that is dropping seed pods on your putting green, or dropping avocados in California. That are making an absolute mess of landscapes. And in Hawaii, they have these monkey pod trees that are dropping very large and dangerous objects out of the trees. Their seed pods can be as big as a hardball, a softball, and they can cause actual damage to things underneath the tree. So in those cases, people have had successfully argued to have those what are called nuisance trees removed or cut back severely so that they're not dropping parts of the trees into the neighbor's yard. So we've had lots of those calls.
There's actually tree law, right?
Yes.
There's actually law on how this does or doesn't dissect. I've got a tree at a rental property that I hate. And I was out there trying to tear it down. And a neighbor came out and said, you can't remove that tree. That's what shades my car. So I've left that stupid tree there just for her shade. But I hate that tree. Jennifer, you had a text on a problematic tree.
Yeah, John actually helped us with a lady from Green Valley. Her name is Barbara, and she was a very kind of neighbor who knew that her tree was rogue. And so she wrote in and sent some pictures. She has a pine tree that was growing into the neighbor's cypress tree. So, John, do you remember that question? Could you elaborate? I mean, he had some very technical things to say to her so that she would trim it so it wouldn't be a problem again.
Yeah, it was a real courtesy for her to know that her branches of her pine tree were growing into this row of cypress trees. And so she said, how do I deal with it? What do I do? And I said, again, this is species specific because pine trees don't regenerate growth after you make a pruning cut.
Right.
She didn't need to worry about doing a whole lot of trimming on them. I told her, give yourself a foot or two of clearance away from her trees, back to the property line, but don't butcher your tree. You know, we've actually had customers say, we want those branches cut back to the property line. And in order to do that, we'd have to make what we call heading cuts, which is to cut a branch at an arbitrary location without reference to side branches. And it looks terrible. Right at the property line, you have this all these stubbed off branches. It destroys the beauty of the tree. Then the neighbors have to look at a bunch of stubs. I'd rather, what we actually encourage them to do is let us prune the tree as we normally would. We'll do some nice crown reduction and pull it back as far as we can, but we'll leave a few of the branches kind of feathered over the property line just to make it aesthetically more pleasing. So we're not making these terrible pruning cuts, which aren't healthy for the tree. Sometimes you can take the branch all the way back to the point of attachment at the trunk rather than leave a stub hanging, growing 3 feet to the property line and then be stubbed off. But you can see the balance you have to make there. And if you don't have a cooperative neighbor, it can present some real challenges on how to do it well.
Let's go there. Let's go there. We're talking about being a proactive homeowner, looking at your landscaping and what you can do to be a responsible owner, to be a good neighbor. How about for that homeowner that's got a neighbor that ignores that tree? What are my rights for a nuisance tree that isn't on my property? What can I do?
Well, you can take it upon yourself to trim it. I've had people say, can I do the trimming and send them the bill? you really can't do that. Sometimes if you have a hazardous tree that you think the neighbor's tree is could pose a risk to your home, you can call the city and have the city forester come out and write a report to verify that, yes, this tree is hazardous and it poses a risk to a branch. You know, I had a huge tree in the city of Phoenix that was hanging way over this home, and we were very concerned. And Richard Adkins with the city of Phoenix wrote a report for the homeowner so he could present it to the neighbor to say, this home is this tree's at risk of failing. Because if that neighbor said, under no circumstances am I going to let this tree be trimmed, then at least you'd have some grounds for taking legal action if it did. But there's lots of nuances with regard to how you approach those situations, we just encourage our clients as often as we can to just do what you can to stay out of court.
Amen. Another
issue with the tree overgrowth is sometimes sight. We had neighbors who planted trees too close to the sidewalk, and then to come out of that street and take a right or left, they were on a corner. You couldn't see around to see the traffic. So we just gently asked them, and they did trim them. So I guess it pays to be the kind of neighbor who could ask that sort of thing.
Yeah, no, it's a great, and again, if you needed a little bit of backup, you know, to bring in a city official who can kind of mediate and help, you know, support your cause, that's helpful. There's one caveat, interestingly, you know, we do have, technically, you have the rights to trim the roots or the above ground parts of the tree, the branches, back to your own property line. But there was a case in California, a legal case, in which a neighbor trenched along the property line and cut all the roots of these very significant trees right at the, you know, within just a couple of feet from the, because those roots had been going over into their yard and causing some damage to the hardscape. And so they cut all those roots and killed the trees. Yeah. And the judge made a decision in favor of the plaintiff, the person who lost all those trees. They said, what the ruling ended up saying was that you're allowed to trim the branches of the tree or cut roots if you take reasonable care not to damage the trees and hurt the trees. So they actually, it sort of sent a shot across the bow, if you will, to those neighbors who say, I'm just going to cut everything back to the property line. We had a customer who did that very thing. They said, I'm tired of these citrus trees hanging over my wall on the west side of their east side of their backyard. So the trees were growing toward the west from the neighbor's yard. And so they cut all these citrus trees back to the property line. And what happened is the afternoon sun went in and sunburned.
Cooked it.
Citrus trees went in and blistered all the bark. And then once that interior of those citrus trees was burned, they started getting branch dieback. And then even more sun, it sets up a vicious cycle once you open up the canopy. Well, then that neighbor who had the citrus tree damage sued my client. And I had to come in and write a report, and they finally settled. But those are the kind of things you have to be careful of, because you can't just haphazardly go in and start trimming branches or cutting roots.
All right.
And thinking that you have a legal right to do so.
Now, when we get back, I want to talk to Janet. Janet, if they build, as a landscape architect, it's my theory, if you build a front porch, they will sit. Let's talk about that when I get back, okay?